You're listening to the New City Church podcast. These episodes are recorded live on Gadigal land. Sometimes the audio quality might not be perfect because what you're listening to is a conversation. We don't edit out the chatter. We think that's what makes it authentic. Wherever you're tuning in from, we hope you find these episodes encouraging.
We have a passage that has grounded a lot of New City throughout its life. And fun fact, I'm going to give a short talk before we have a bit of a discussion. And it's going to be almost the exact same talk that I gave on our first ever gathering. Yeah, whew! Because, surprise, surprise, it is still relevant. I know, wild, isn't it? It's Revelation chapter 21. Sammy is going to read some of it for us, and it's a few different parts of Revelation 21, and I hope that as you read it, it might be on the screen if it can work out, but I invite you just to relax. Again, Bible can be complicated for people, so feel free to either enjoy it or don't enjoy it, breathe your way through it if you need to, but I hope that the words are encouraging for you in some way as Sammy reads for it through it for us.
Revelation 21, starting at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." Verse 9. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. Verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Thank you, Sammy. Gosh, you read beautifully. I am going to pull this up. Elke, are my slides there? It's called something like the True New City. They're there? Wonderful. I just can't control them from where I'm at by the looks of it. No? Oh, well. Oh, what a passage. It's a bit hectic. Has anyone dived into Revelation in the last little while? No? We're going to. Woo! We're going to a little bit later in the year. Let's see if this works. It's funny, every time. Oh, look, that's something. That was you. But every time I press it, that happens. This is a mystery. What a party that laptop is having. I'm jealous. What an adventure. Revelation, let's call it, it's a weird book, yeah? It's bizarre. It's full of dragons, It's full of bloodshed. It's full of weird pronouncements of judgment. But then there is always this little snippet of hope that comes through. How are we doing? Oh, wonderful. There's this little snippet of hope that keeps coming through. And as you move through it, eventually it culminates. It comes to this giant moment of hope, this moment of absolute glory and wonder, in where a new city comes out of, bizarrely, the clouds. A new Jerusalem comes out of the clouds. And in that city is everything you could ever hope for. It is, you know, the way it's described, it's made of gold down its streets. There's precious pearls on the walls. I don't really want streets of gold and pearls on the walls, but the imagery is it's full of abundance and life, and there's no darkness because God is in its midst. It's a really beautiful picture. In fact, this isn't going to work, I bet. Thanks, Elke. Yeah, I'll let you do it, Elke. Can you go to the slide that says strategic vision? It's slide number 6. Yes, look at that, look at that. That in the top right-hand corner is our logo. Every good brand needs a logo, and every church is just a brand. Let's call it. No, I'm joking. Thank you for taking that, but don't. That's our logo. You may have seen it around, and that you can. I don't know if you can see this, but this was the original design that we started thinking through. There's the N in negative space. Can anyone see the N in the negative space? But how we got to that actual shape was this passage. It is, in some way, depicting the river that comes up, or down rather, from the city. So the middle stream there is supposed to depict a river. That's obscure, isn't it? Yeah. But I just wanted to point out that passage was really fundamental for us as we started thinking through, what do we need as a church? What do we need as a church? Because I think most of us, if you're here in this space, I don't know some of you at all, but for most people who land in New City Church, there has been a history of, wow, the church can be hard. Being part of a faith space that claims to follow Jesus can be really complicated. Am I, my finger's on the pulse there, yeah? And it is very easy, I think, to become bitter. It's very easy to become disheartened and to lose hope. So what does it look like if we form a community and we have a vision that is grounded in a future hope? What does it look like if we have a community that casts its eyes forward constantly and starts to live as though that future reality were present? What does that look like? What does it look like to be a revelation community, a community that is shaped by the new city, dare I say it, a new city church? Do you see how we got there? So this is how we landed at the name of New City Church, because so much of what is painted in Revelation is beautiful and hopeful. Let me unpack a couple of things for you. Firstly, in Revelation chapter 21, Jesus is shown to be the victor who is worthy of worship. Jesus has defeated evil, defeated sin, defeated Satan. There is just this victory that is writ large across the skies. And so it makes sense that one of our values is going to be Jesus, worthy of worship. In verse 21, Elke, this is slide number 2, verse number 4, Jesus will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no mourning or death or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. It was Jesus who did that. In this passage, Jesus is given the glory. And then in verse 6 of chapter 21, The angel says to John, it is done. Oh, sorry, not the angel. Jesus says to John, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we get this picture of a Jesus who is so grand, who is so all-encompassing. It's no longer the Jesus on the cross. It's not even the Jesus resurrected. This is Jesus in Jesus' rightful place. as one who is bringing justice and hope. It's a really cool picture. It's a cool picture. It kind of fits a kind of Marvel-esque trope where the enemy, the foe, has been entirely vanquished. And now there is nothing but hope ahead. And the accolades start coming forth. And you have the angels that declare, holy, holy, holy. So if we were to think through a roadmap for New City Church, for me, where I'm at in my faith, it feels like a bit of a no-brainer that Jesus is going to be fairly important. That Jesus is going to be in the mix there, perhaps even right at the center of it. And so if you're just joining New City or if you've been around for a little while, I hope that in 2024, we will, as a community, kind of revolve in some way around this person of Jesus. Heads up, you won't get it perfect. We won't get it perfect. There will be times when we look nothing like Jesus, but there is a hope that everything that we do will walk towards Jesus because Jesus is the victor. Does that make sense? That's I think, at the core of this hope that we have in the future. But it doesn't just stop there, because we're going to go through each of the values, by the way. Heads up. Justice. In this Revelation picture, justice is complete. And it gives us a picture of what justice looks like. In verse 24, Elke, if we go to the next slide. Slide number 3, I think it is. Or maybe it's slide number 4. Oh yeah, that's right. I cut out the other verses. So we've already read that there is no more death or dying or mourning or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. In this new city, there is something radically different about the world. Harm between humanity has ceased. And interestingly, on this day, when the new city comes, the city gates will never be shut. And that's super, super important. And I missed it when I first read through this passage. In the ancient world, cities were a place of refuge. Cities were a place where you could flee if you needed assistance. In a cruel civilization, you could run into the cities and there you would find spaces that could keep you safe out of the wilderness land. And so you would flee into the city. But come nightfall, the city gates would shut. And so every city of the ancient world, there was a period in which you could seek refuge. But after that period, you were literally locked out and left to fend for yourself. But the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, its state is permanently open. This new city, the gates will never be shut, for it is never night there. It is a place of true refuge. It's a place of true rest, such that in verse 6, to the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. And those old boundaries that used to exist, that established out there as a threat, that alienated, that scapegoated, that old order with its insidious racism, that old order with its homophobia, biphobia, queerphobia, transphobia, that old order with its ableism, that old order with everything that was set up to not allow people to have refuge and rest, that old order has passed away. So if we're to think through, what does it look like for a roadmap for New City Church in 2024? What does it mean for us to be radically involved in this erasing of boundaries, to be a place that has our doors open, that engages in a world where ecological justice is only just beginning to be understood, where justice sits at the heart of what we do? I think that's cool. I want to be part of a community where the old order of things is beginning to pass away. And again, we're going to screw it up. because we're still here. We're still on this side of this hope. But my hope is that we would begin to grasp it in our midst. And so finally, in the new city, the community, not just of New City, our church, but the community of humanity finds its healing. And I'm going to read for you from verse 1 of chapter 22, the next little bit that goes on a little bit further. After there is this declaration in 21, verse 3, look, God's dwelling place is now with humanity. God will dwell with them, they will be God's people, and God will be there as their God. In verse 22, chapter 22, here's what it says. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. I long for this image, this healing of the nations. And I think what we see in this passage is a reversal of Genesis 1. In Genesis 1, if you've been around church for a while, you might have heard it spoken about Genesis 1, 2, and 3. This moment of humanity takes place where they are barred from the tree of life. They are barred from the tree. And I think often we picture that as a curse. God is saying, you're not allowed to access the tree of life anymore. You know, forbidden from the tree of life, banished. I don't think that's what's happening in Genesis 1 to 3. I think what's happening there is that humanity, once it has access to evil, perpetuates evil. And we see this. And the image that we get, at least in Revelation, is that God has said, I don't want you to touch the tree of life, because if you touch the tree of life, you will live forever, but you'll live forever in the context of evil. And so from that moment, a plan is set in motion to eradicate evil. And only once that evil has been destroyed, do we again have access to the tree of life, such that we can live for eternity in the presence of justice and hope. I think that's what's happening in this passage. And so God is reversing Genesis 21. Genesis 1 through 3. And in that, this is the part that gets me excited. It's not a great homogenizing of humanity. It's not that all humans suddenly become the same. It's quite the opposite. All of the nations come into this new kingdom, but they bring with them their glory. They bring with them their language. They bring with them their honor. And so you have a radical diversity, all living in the one place under a rule of honor. That's cool. That's a wonderful picture that I want to be a part of. And so if we were to think of a roadmap for our church in that instance, I think it's pretty obvious that we are to be a community which welcomes people in, that welcomes diversity, that honors one another, that recognizes that great kingdom that we're going to be a part of, and starts living as community. Do you see what we've done now? In Revelation chapters 21 and 22, this great picture at the end of the Bible, we see Jesus, justice, and community everywhere. But I want us to stop thinking esoterically. I want us to stop thinking in the cloud, what does this look like, and ground it. Can we do that? I am going to ask a question in a moment, and as I said, invite you to share if you're wanting to think through what is it that you want in New City over 2024, and to just think through a couple of grounding ideas. Last year we talked a fair bit about this strategic vision. You can get it on the website if you'd like. But I want to flick through a couple of slides real quickly just to show you a couple of things that are coming up in the life of New City Church. Warning, this is going to feel like drinking from a fire hydrant, and by the time we get through it all, you're going to be exhausted. Holy poo perfect hell, can we really get through all of this together? What we've got in this is not much more than what we did last year. In fact, it may even be slightly less. We narrowed it down a little bit, but it's still going to feel exhausting going through it. So, are you ready? Let's do it. Elke, next slide. Firstly, strategic priority number one. There's five. We're going to move quickly. Strategic priority number one, growing as a dynamic worshiping community centered around Jesus. Next slide. On the left, oh no, there was a slide between those two. Yeah, that one. On the left, there's initiatives. And on the right, there's indicators. Bear in mind, this document is made for our community and particularly for the board to be like, oh, are we on the right track? Like, are we keeping in line with our values? So you can ignore this altogether. Feel free to. But this is for some of the leaders to think through, are we on the right track? So initiatives, community groups. We've got a couple starting to pop up. We've got hopefully another one starting in the next little while. But we want to get to the point where the majority of our members are connected into a community group, whether that is weekly, fortnightly, monthly, but they have a place where they can connect and call home. Sunday gatherings. We want more diversity and perspectives in our space here. We want to explore a range of learning styles. We want to incorporate a range of spiritual practices. We want to develop our music teams to write and explore songs which reflect our community. We don't want to be centered around the Sunday gathering. We want it to be a space where, yeah, we gather here, but where we have touch points through the week that we're in each other's lives. Retreat. We've got a retreat, a winter retreat planned. We've already done a conference. Conference, tick that off. Music worship nights, both team nights and corporate gatherings, creative retreats and events led by creatives within the community. How exciting is that? There's a huge amount in there, and that would be enough to get us on through the whole year very happily, but that's just initiative number one. So that is how we focus on Jesus together. Okay, initiative number two. Or strategic priority number two. Elke, what's the next one? It is fostering a connected community, richly supporting one another. There's always some overlap. So next slide, Elke. Here's our strategies and initiatives, indicators. I can't pastorally care for this whole church. You're a complicated bunch, and I'm only employed one day a week. So it's not going to work out. If you want to be cared for, you've got to connect in with each other. And if you are in a place where you can care for people, please do that. Use your skills. But we want to train people up, and in a little bit, we're going to talk about grants and money. I would love it to get to the point where we can actually equip a bunch of us with formal pastoral care training. So it's a team effort. Touch points. I've said community groups. We're going to run another support group, a religious harm support group. That's going to kick off in a little while. Dinners in people's homes, social events, book clubs, the last Sunday of every month rhythm that might look a little bit different every now and then. Intergenerational. There's a number of people in our children already seeking to be, sorry, the number of people in our community with children who want to be part of NCC. That's exciting. We don't have leaders for that. We also don't have a hall unless you use the little foyer area or the dank basement. Yeah. So the board has started thinking about, well, are there other places that we could gather so that kids can be involved? And here's an exciting one, highly developed policies and procedures. Yeah, woo! That's exciting, but so important for a safe community to have procedures in place so that we can care for one another well. And to give you an update, the board has them all drafted. There's a few little tweaks that we need to make, and then they're going live. So that's how we connect safely as a community. Any questions about that? We're going to power on through. The next strategic priority that we have is becoming a justice-pursuing community engaged in gospel-driven acts of renewal. Next slide, Elke. Develop a formal partnership and informal partnership with different agencies. So Common Grace, we're going to keep fostering that. And in fact, there's a Common Grace conference coming up in October that I would love to send a delegation from our church to. meeting in Canberra to meet with politicians and advocate for justice. Foster justice movements that are already taking place within the community. You're already involved in a huge amount. So how can we foster that as a space and as a church together? Social justice becomes a regular rhythm in our community, building awareness and then having diverse voices. Remember when Radhika came and spoke about anti-racism? Gosh, that was good. I messaged her in the week and said, hey, can you come back? And she said, yes, super duper. So sinking our teeth into some of those justice initiatives. Number four, Elke, strategic vision. Number four, priority is developing a community which impacts dialogue across the world. This might be thinking a little bit too large for some of you at this point. You're like, what's going on here? But one of the things that we're noticing is that people are just listening. And I think people are craving a space like Future Church Conference that we just put on. And we can make some impact as a community without doing too much. So the first three priorities are fundamental. This one builds on those with things like, Elke, next slide. Resource creation. So we've already put together a religious harm support group resource that people can use, and pretty soon that's going to be free for everyone to use. Conferences, we've already done it. Recognizing that it is you on the ground that affects change, and so empowering you to continue being involved in advocacy, training, and equipping in various spaces, and tapping into our online presence a little bit more. Hello, people who are joining us online. I want to thank Nick in particular, who is currently in Malta, but who does all of our socials. I haven't touched our socials in 2 years. Nick does all of them and does a really good job. And so starting to support him a bit more to think creatively, well, what else can we throw in there for those who don't have a space that they can call home? There are so many people who reach out across Australia to me all the time who say, can you recommend a good church in Southeast Tasmania? And no, I can't, but I know that they're listening to our podcast and they're following the community online. And so allowing them to have a connection point of a safe church, even if they can't join us physically. By the way, Southeast Tasmania, that was an example. No one has actually reached out from Southeast Tasmania. Next. This is our last one, and this is strategic priority five, resourcing the vision. And this is, how do we make sure that we actually have the resources, both people and money, to pull this off? So next slide. We're going to keep looking for grants. We just got another grant of $10,000 a couple of months ago, which is wonderful. People who are excited about the vision feel like they can give generously and know that it's going to be used faithfully. Fundraising events, Treasurer Pete does a remarkable job, and we want to make sure that we're providing regular updates to ensure transparency, and then also the people power, leadership development, staffing as necessary as we grow, and building rhythms of rest into that, and denominational ties. The board is meeting in a couple of weeks to discuss how do we as a community have this final discussion around joining the Uniting Church or not. That might feel like, you know, news to you, but that is a conversation that's been happening for a while. We want to wrap that conversation up fairly soon. So that is on the horizon. Keep that in mind. That's it. So that is that. Do you feel like you've drunk from that fire hydrant? You've managed to take a sip or two? Who feels like we can achieve it all? Woo! Okay. Oh, wonderful. A few people. I'm like, this is why I'm so excited about the year ahead. Does that make sense now? Like, it just, when I read this list of things, I'm like, oh, I am genuinely excited to be part of this community and to see these things happen because we need it. I need it. I think Sydney needs it. And it is such an honor to be able to do it alongside you all. So what happens when a group of people who have, you know, perhaps being burnt by the church, stops licking its wounds and starts entering into a space of healing to cast our vision forward, to say, okay, well, let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's develop community together. Let's act justice in the world. I think then we have that revelation church. And I think then we have this picture of a new city, which I can get excited about. So I think I've ranted. Apologies. I want to, if you're comfortable, I would love for some people to share, are there things that for you, you're excited about as we go into this year ahead? Are there things that you're excited for in New City Church? I'm going to stop talking, hand the microphone over. If you can hold the microphone nice and close to your mouth, I've had feedback that that can help the people who are online. And also, if you want to share but not have this recorded and put on the podcast, please feel free to, and then just let me or Walter or Jaden know, and we'll delete you. We'll literally erase you from the podcast with permission. Okay. Any thoughts? What are people excited for as we head into this year?
This is actually comes off something that somebody said at the Future Church conference in our crew, but like it was really amazing to have like what was shared, like be up front, what they talked about, like it just felt like the gospel, but it also felt like the true gospel in regards to like there being justice or there being no taboo and there being like honesty about things, but then also how do we move forward and what it is to have life for all. But someone made the comment, it might have been you, Joel, but like the fact of we already do this every week. And I think what I'm most excited is for us to be us. I think each week when we come together, we're always authentically trying to figure out, but also look forward before, like what's out, like before us as well. In regards to what is a church that is the community for all humans and considering what the gospel is for all humans. And yes, we're not going to get that perfect, but I feel like together we're always trying to learn how to love more and harm less. And I think I really love that. But a particular thing that I know is coming up is when we do a series on communitas, like what it is to be a diverse community that might have different, like differentiable things about us or variety, but like how to then do relationship and love and discourse and exploring that together. Well, I think I'm excited for like, how do we do that within us, but also how do we do communitas beyond us? And so I'm just grateful that this space is what it is.
Thanks, Kiralee. Also, feel free to disagree and say there's nothing I'm excited about and offer something that we could be doing.
Thanks, Joel. I'll try and keep this brief. I've been thinking a lot around the word prophecy and prophetic, and I know that's a word that's been used in damaging ways in a lot of contexts, but I think of it as a way that we can speak on behalf of Jesus and the values of Jesus and what you've just talked about, Joel, and really be a voice for justice. I think the church at large doesn't listen to voices outside of the church or people who they view as, you know, against them. So we're in a really unique position to be within the church community, to be believers and faithful believers at that. So to be able to speak, to have LGBTQI plus voices, to have people of colour speaking, and for the church to be able to recognize that and for that to be a powerful and prophetic movement within the church that can actually change and, I guess, in a way that is holy, like move hearts and minds. And so that's happening through Future Church. It's happening in such a myriad of ways. The fact that it's already happening and it's starting to have impact and there are questions being asked from people who previously would have stepped away from any church like New City, I think is really encouraging. So I'm looking forward to growing deeper into that voice as a church.
I believe it was Dave Baker who said, New City Church, leading people astray since 2020. You! You'd define astray.
I'm just really excited for the creative expansion of the church, identifying new ways that we can connect spiritually just beyond, I think worship and music is great, but I think there's so much expression that we miss sometimes. So I'm really excited to see how we can show our connection to God through more ways than just singing. There's just so much creativity in this room And I can't wait for us to tap into it and find new ways of expressing that.
Yeah, apparently the queer is a crack creative. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, in fact, we're going to have a contemplative day coming up, which sounds like torture to some, but glory to others.
Thanks. I like the question that Joel asked at the beginning, like, what do we need from a church? And I would like a religious space where all parts of myself are included. Like Joel Sonnes describes this place as he would like to see people being able to, I think, flomp here, like flomp on the couch. And I think you can't really flomp and let go unless you can say, well, here I am, you know, this is me and I'm not perfect, but I don't have to, you know, if I can't flomp and let go if I think, oh, I can't reveal this part of me to you because you might not be my friend anymore. And so just like Kiralee, I really like that we're talking about communitas later on in the year. We're going to have a sermon series on that because that's where we're going to discuss how can we be in community with people we disagree with or who do things in life that we don't agree with, you know, with Jesus, he associated with people who his community didn't agree with at that time. He associated with tax collectors, which were ostracized, and sex workers. What I also want to point out is that he also broke bread and healed people who we might not like the Pharisees as well. He also associated with them as well. So the whole complete range, not only what we might consider, say, the marginalised. So it's a whole range of inclusion, and, you know, we might have people who, and I sort of think if we, that then that is a true refuge for everybody. If, you know, like I think that there might be people here who, might have voted against The Voice, or someone might come and say, hey, I committed adultery with my partner. And would we as a church then say, okay, fair enough, but you can't teach or have a leadership position at New Seed Church? Like, what is our position on that? Like, you know, we can have a discussion about that, but for the greatest extent that I would like to see New City Church is where a place where we can flomp, where eventually we don't have to hide those parts of myself in order to be, you know, liked and included by the community.
Yeah, thanks, Walter. Reminds me of Tim Costello, who's a Baptist pastor in Victoria, CEO of World Vision for a long time. He says, I'm not interested in going left or right, I'm interested in going deeper. And I think that's a really helpful frame to think through how we do community together as we just keep going deeper. Yeah. Any others? As we read through that list, there's an awful lot there, things that you might be excited about or keen for. Mariah.
I think for me, I just had the realization, I've been now here in Australia for 6 months. I know, woohoo! And the moment I walked in here, I remember just thinking, what's the vision, what's the plan, and like hearing what everyone had to say and just sort of the direction that we were going. And I just, from 6 months ago till now, I see a huge, like, positive direction. We now have the community groups, you know, I know that was a huge, how we get it started, how we get it going, and hope it continues. Like, I think it's positive, from some, like, social to just all these other creative ways. I'm just very excited to see what kind of other avenues we can explore and the creativity of it. But I've just been thinking from when I came here till now, just it's great to see the positive just direction. And obviously with the positive comes like the negative parts of how can we learn from it. And I think that's also kind of the exciting part to this process is there is going to be a lot of, oh, how can we make it better, or this wasn't right, but we could fix it to do it this way. And also just how it's more community centered, and it's not just, oh, this is how we should do it, and then it's, you know, it's, and I think that's something that's very valued and appreciated here is the input that's given. And I'm just excited to continue to see it to hopefully go in that positive direction with obviously some hiccups, but that's the process, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Thank you. And thank you for everything that you do in that path. It's so appreciated. And actually, you've just reminded me what my announcement was at the beginning. Whoa, good one. Which was, if you're new or newish, we have a newcomers dinner coming up on the 22nd of February. It's a Thursday night at Thomas and my house. We'd love to have you around. I pointed at Sammy there. There you are, Thomas. You're in the dark. You might be invited. We'll talk. To come join us for a dinner, to ask questions, get to know New City a little bit more. Any other thoughts?
Sorry. I think sometimes we can think of policies and procedures as like this external or ambiguous thing, but I think in the context of New City, it's an opportunity to clarify how we enact love and how we action those values. So that excites me too.
Thank you for being excited about policies. Phew. Everyone has said something. Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'm the last one, but I'm excited to see the community groups move along again. We started some last year. We've had a little bit of a hiccup with our one for a little while, but I'm just excited. And like you mentioned, going deeper. I think, just to, I guess, have people meet outside church time and just, share our lives together and learn from each other and sharpen each other. And, looking forward to that. Exciting.
Thank you. No, so appreciated.